since I very first started to be an activist when I was a teenager, I have been aware of what they're commonly called shills, but back when I was young, we used to call them controlled opposition operatives. And these are people that are employed by the government or by the industry, whichever industry it may be that you're contending with, and they are employed to control the opposition. This is an old communist ruse that was pulled on the Russians, where what the people try to do, who are doing this, they don't directly oppose. They steer you so that you do not oppose for the right reasons and in effective ways. So the controlled opposition operatives are quite clever, and we have them in absolutely every single campaign that I have ever been involved in all of these 50 years. There is no such thing as a campaign against the government that does not have controlled operatives.
Can you just give us an example of the sort of, you know, I suppose what you're saying is that the campaigns are being misdirected by these people, an example of where?
Yes, that is what I'm saying, absolutely. They're not just misdirected, they are disrupted, and they are given a bad reputation.
But give us an example. In what way, for example?
Well, there are five different types, actually, Tony. There's the ones that come from the government. Those are usually police undercovers, and their main objective is to identify everyone that is involved and feed that information back to the headquarters, and then to target those individuals to literally find any dirt that they can from the past of that person, and then use that to ruin their reputation with other members of the group. They will set one member off against another by saying, this one said this about you, and then saying the same thing to the other person, and causing people to have arguments and fall out. They will get drunk or drugged out of their minds and cause us disrepute by misbehaving in such a way that everyone presumes that all of us are like that, just on the behaviour of one person. They'll get themselves arrested doing things that are completely illegal, again, to put us into disrepute. There are endless games that they play and continue to play, and this has been going on for decades. All the time I've ever known anything about activism is we've dealt with people.
Okay,
like
so
this.
You started with the police there. Can you run through the others?
Yeah. The next one on the list is the people that are employed by the industry. In the case of the oil industry, these are usually very, very well trained, very experienced, and have been involved with the oil industry in the past, and are therefore employed by the oil industry to do pretty much the same things that the police undercovers are doing, but also to misdirect us and make sure that we do not find out some of the really important secrets, such as the exact chemical content of drilling muds and frac fluid. That's a heavily guarded secret throughout the world. And to ensure that we do not find out that those things are severely toxic and carcinogenic, particularly to also make sure that we do not form relationships with people that work in the oil and gas industry, so that we do not contaminate them with some truth. That's another thing that they particularly are very keen that we do not do, that we do not have any communication with those people. The next category are the hangers-on, the people that turn up to our events and camps simply because they want to rumble, they want to be fed, they want to make sure that their own income is secure for their drink or drug habits, so they latch onto us for those reasons. And also, there are the very sad individuals who are maybe homeless and are desperate for company, and they're not likely to be quite so disruptive, but because of their reputation and their appearance will give us a bad name. And then finally, there's the actors. And you find these associated with the media. You'll get a media van turn up with all the equipment and cameras and God knows what. But out of the same vehicle, we'll get someone dressed as a clown or in other some ridiculous outfit who will start causing as much attention-grabbing behaviour as they possibly can, and they are then filmed or photographed, and that goes into the newspapers, creating an image that we are not serious, that we are a bunch of idiots, to create a disreputation, if that's not really a real word, but that's what they do. So that's the five categories. There's the police, the industry themselves, the people that are simply freeloading, those that are suffering in society, such as the homeless, and finally the media and their part-time stooges who cause trouble.
What about alternative media, though? Because a lot of people look to that for the only possible truth, you know, since a lot of the time the mainstream press is simply not reporting, as you said, on some of the most important dangers of things like fracking.
Well, alternative media comes in two pretty broad categories, but you have the rather slick presentation of alternative media and the amateur alternative media. Now, if you look at this is quite easy to identify. The ones that are a bit too slick with their own studio and their own special equipment and good quality cameras, those are controlled opposition. The ones that are amateurs just taking film from their camera or doing a bit of live streaming without very much in the way of polish, those are the ones you can trust. Those are the ones that are the genuine campaigners trying to get the word out. And that's how I differentiate between the two. I can tell what is controlled opposition. I've had far too many years doing this. A controlled opposition operative will always present a very polished package. They've got pride in their product, and that actually gives them away.
You're listening to dialectradio.co.uk, your local community radio run by volunteers. Log on to our website.